and welcome to Can You Get to That? I am your co-host, Matthew Olson, coming at you from New York City. I think I'm definitely out of synonyms for big. So I'm not.
That's it. We used them all up. There's no more. No more words for big.
I didn't learn any in different languages this week. So yeah.
Did you try swole? Is that one that you tried?
Shit. Yet. Matt.
See? I'm very relevant. I'm very topical.
Shit. You leapt right in there and you changed the whole damn game, Adam.
Changed the game. I'm your other co-host, Caitlin Best. I am coming at you from the normal size, non-swole city of Portland, Oregon. And
Portland's very not swole.
Very not swole.
Not at all. It's like a small city.
Small, yeah.
Small, yeah. Say.
The small apple. The small rose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And and this week we are joined by @gains_tweets, possibly the best handle on Twitter, Adam Fisher. Hello.
I try. Hello. This is Adam from Copenhagen, Denmark, where it is a small European city, a decent sized European city, but it is extremely dark, and that's It's more dark than large. That's the problem.
Oh, what time is it over there?
It is after 7. It is 9 hours ahead of you. So
okay, that's but it's been dark since like 3 p.m. right?
Yes. Oof. I did in fact find a video earlier today of a like a Norwegian man yelling about daylight, and that was pretty much that's my feeling since moving here. I'm just a Norwegian man yelling about daylight.
Oh man, Adam.
What?
Have you ever seen this video of Norwegian bodybuilders in the tiny village?
Yes. Oh, okay, good. How could I not?
Okay, just thought I'd check.
I just want to add, I have seen that video of the Norwegian man yelling about daylight or the lack thereof. It is very good. I might have to actually like put in some legwork here in the show notes and include a link.
I did retweet it earlier today, so if you go back through my tweets, you'll find it.
Perfect. Sick. Ideal. Now, does Copenhagen have a nickname like the Big Apple or the Rose City?
I honestly don't know. I haven't been here long enough to know. I guess
we do have the internet at our disposal. We could figure this out.
We could just find out right now
before we do the game proper.
Maybe
while you look, Caitlin, since you're our eyes and ears of the internet via Skype, you could give us a brief little foot update. How's your foot doing?
So far, still broken. Still not able to walk on it. I feel like there was some like sort of comedic thing that happened this week vis-a-vis me being on crutches, but I can't remember. I'll let you know if I think of it.
Maybe did you meet someone at the gym when you went to use the big shower and have a comedic run-in?
No, I did go swimming at the Reed College pool. And it's so awful. I hate swimming so fucking much. So that was that.
Distasteful, then.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, literally. Like, you know, the chlorine.
Yeah. No, I get it.
It just
it's
gets
nasty.
In all of your... It gets in all your bits, and it's just... Ew.
All right, that's good. Good foot update. Really... Good bits update.
Yeah, I never thought the word bits could be so dirty, you know?
Copenhagen doesn't seem to have a nickname that I can tell.
It doesn't seem to. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll change that.
Copenhagen, foot city.
It says there the literal English translation would be Chapman's Haven.
Who the fuck is that?
Oh, have you seen? I'm not Facebook friends with either of you. My girlfriend actually found a site that does maps of cities. But gives you the place names translated literally into English instead of the actual names. And the one for Copenhagen is absolutely bizarre. I love it a lot. There is a place called like Dad's Beer or something like that. It's beautiful. we shared it with the caption "Tag yourself, I'm X," where I was a train stop called Existenceless. That was me.
Perfect. This right here is me, I think, is the parlance on Twitter for that kind of joke.
Yes.
So this week, we're happy to have you, and I believe the topic is one that you brought to us, Adam, and it is everyone's favorite Objectivist, the first, the original, the OG.
You'll be a real one. Objectivist if you ask her, yeah.
Yeah, it's Ayn Rand.
So let me preface by saying that I, in younger, more willful years, was really into Ayn Rand, in a very honest, in real sense. Like, there was no hint of irony about it. I legitimately loved Ayn Rand. And I'm glad to say that now I've achieved a status somewhere around, like, what Mallory Ortberg thinks of Ayn Rand, which is that she's really adorable, and she's very cute, and she's very... You know, she's like your wayward daughter that you really love, but you know, like, you kind of keep guessing. You're like, oh, Ayn, like, look what you did again. So yes, it's a wonderful world. And, you know, I have a lot of knowledge about Ayn Rand at this point that, you know, I'm mildly embarrassed that I have this much knowledge, but at least I have it. At least I don't not have it.
Sure, sure. And that'll come very in handy doing the wiki game here. Yeah. I was going to say, it does feel a little weird to, 2 weeks after doing an episode on Octavia Butler, to be hopping tracks to Ayn Rand.
Just a full 180.
A full 180 with 69 in the middle is like, just, that's what, that's, if that's not what Can You Get to That is, it is now. It's been changed in the last 3 weeks. My most recent Ayn Rand sort of experience was watching the movie All Watched Over by Machines of Loving Grace by Adam Curtis, who you might have heard of.
You could have just made that up just now. And I wouldn't know.
The phrase I thought in my head was, those are words. Those are
words. He makes these sort of almost like clip show documentaries, and they're almost all focused on the disastrous impact of neoliberalism on the world. And you can one of the things that comes up when you search his name when you enter it into Google is Adam Curtis documentary soundtracks, because he always uses the same, like, five songs, no matter the movie, too. And like This American Life, a lot of them are off of Nine Inch Nails' Ghosts, which I think is just the de facto soundtrack now for, like, the world is more complicated and worse than you ever could have possibly comprehended. Let this smart person tell you how.
It's funny, because that was also the soundtrack for the entire time that I lived in France. I was basically that on repeat and Kanye's Dark, Beautiful, Twisted Fantasy, so...
It sounds like things got dark when you were living there.
I was living there in the winter, too, so they did, in a literal sense, get dark.
Wow. Yeah, so my most recent experience was watching that film and having sort of the impact of objectivist ideology and Rand's work sort of connected to various historical events, and that was pretty bleak. But also, I had to read Anthem in high school, which I think we've talked about this, Caitlin. Like,
yeah,
that's not super common, is it?
You mentioned that. No, that's really weird. Never heard of that shit.
It's also funny, because it's like the worst thing she's ever written, quite, like,
I don't
easily,
even know.
By
I'm
far.
Sure you may have told me this the last time you brought this up, but what is that one about?
Adam, you can probably do a much better job explaining the cliff notes of
it's a
Anthem.
Weird, short thing, novella, I don't know, about a future in which individuality has been dissolved, and
right.
So the main character is, like, a person with a number for a name who, like, dares to imagine the ego and the word I, which is forbidden in their society. it was a lot, like, you know, and it was not very well written.
It's a short story that bends over backwards in simultaneously in as few and as many pages as possible to, like, lay out this idea of a totalitarian collectivist state, which, like,
right,
the amount of, like, weird fear-mongering you have to invent and then communicate in such a short space to, like, make that idea even remotely hang for the sake of the plot of the novel
is really
outstanding.
It also sounds like just as lazy an application of the Sapir Whorf hypothesis I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
Just from that description.
Wait, while we're talking about that, a topic from a couple weeks back before we launch in, have either of you seen the movie yet? Arrival.
I've not seen Arrival. And I don't know if I want to see it.
I haven't.
Have you seen it?
I haven't.
Matt, have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet. There was a plan to go see it, but that kind of fell through. But yeah, I heard that it's like linguistic relativism.
Yeah, it's like
the
about,
film.
Like Amy Adams is a linguist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know if I want to see it because that kind of intrigues me. But on the other hand, I feel like it might just be like, well, but if the aliens can't conceptualize the color, then how do they see it?
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it's like kind of a thin ice scenario as to how they employ that, and I've sort of resisted looking into how deep they go so that I don't like spoil the whole film for myself.
Spoil it.
Yeah, like otherwise, why am I going to spend the $14 to go see a movie in the Swole Apple?
Right.
I can also tell you that I have taken philosophy and language courses, and let me tell you, there is nothing good in that whole sector of.
Oh yeah,
thought.
I know. Yeah, I'm
there's
I'm
nothing
aware.
Good there. There's I nothing. You like it's you just imagine someone hitting you over the head with a large book with the phrase "speech acts" written on it, and then that's literally about the only useful thing that you can derive from it. So,
word a ringing endorsement from Adam Fisher for now. We should launch into it. We should get the game going.
I think
we're in good hands with our guests, but it really depends on this first step that we take, so let's get it rolling. Random article step one. Holy shit.
Oh boy. Thickety mountain orpits parenthesis 38CK74.
This is my shit right here. This is maybe the best first step we've gotten.
What, the ore pits? Why? Why is this your shit?
Those ore pits are thick.
Yeah, one, thickety mountain, pretty great. Two, mining interests. Since staring into the gaping maw that is the Butte Pit, the giant mile wide by mile and a half long pit of acid in Butte, Montana, left by a copper mine, I am just like, I'm all about mining stuff whenever it comes up. So
what is the acid lake in Butte, is it like how teens go to like quarries?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they go there to like hang out and like make out and like smoke cigs and whatever.
Are you asking if that's the if the pit in Butte is the equivalent of like makeout?
Yes.
Peak?
Yes.
if it was the only like notable landmark in Butte and wasn't also like fenced in and so fucking dangerous.
Oh, damn.
It might be
the fence.
Yeah, the last
Just
time
the
I
fence.
The last time I went to Butte was the first time I was like there for July 4th and old enough to like really get what was going on. Butte's got like the sickest July 4th friendly laws on the books. Open containers, totally okay.
Oh, nice.
Yep, also great for St. Patty's Day, I guess. And then fireworks, yes. Basically the rule is fireworks, yes.
Fireworks, yes.
They love their fireworks so much they treat it like families that open presents on Christmas Eve. They do their July 4th fireworks on the 3rd because everyone's going to start lighting off their fourth fireworks on the 4th anyway, so the official like town fireworks are the night before. And there's this big mountain near Butte, far away from the pit, that's got this M, I guess, for like one of the local colleges on it, and they shoot the fireworks off over the mountain, and then the M almost always catches on fire because it's just like crabgrass up there. So I think the makeout part would be probably the crabgrass mountain.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that was a long way of saying we go where the thing catches on fire, not where our skin will be dissolved.
I guess that's all right.
I mean, what was the makeout peak in Eugene?
What
was the makeout spot in Eugene, Oregon?
Oh, I wasn't cool enough to know that.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you were just asking her, and I was like, man, if anyone had to ask me where the cool makeout spot was in, you know, the region of Detroit, Michigan, I would have had to say that was knowledge I was not privy to.
Nobody ever told me.
In Detroit, what would it be now? Like, doesn't Detroit, is it Detroit that has the RoboCop statue? Is that Detroit?
Yeah. I'm not sure what the status is on the completion of that, but that was a thing that got kickstarted. That was real, yes.
I think that's logically the cool spot to hang out and Mac on your boo.
Giant
RoboCop.
It probably is. I haven't lived there for a little while, so it's God knows what could have changed in the past 2 or 3 years.
What are the teens like in Denmark? Are they like American teens?
Thus far, yes, that has been my exposure to teens, to youths. I don't know. I haven't really interacted with too many of them now that I'm working from my computer and never leaving the house. So,
Word. I mean, that's a good teen avoidance strategy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never go outside.
So let's think about what we can click on and what will get us to your girl. I can't do that straight face.
You can't complete that phrase.
I can't complete that phrase. What'll get us closer to Ayn Rand?
Yeah, we have archaeological site, Cherokee County, South Carolina, Iron, National Register of Historic Places. Just a bunch of places in South Carolina.
Bunch of places in South Carolina. I was thinking that an obvious route to try and do, and maybe this isn't actually the best plan, would be to try to get to Alan Greenspan. Everybody's favorite guy. Can't get that out with a straight face either. but I'm open to Adam's input, really.
I'm just gonna jump in here. In certain other languages, the word for railroad, it includes the word iron, Spanish,
French as well.
So listen, we get to iron, we get to railroad. Fucking think about it.
I'm thinking.
Right there.
Yeah. All right.
That's bullshit, but.
I mean, that's maybe one of the more thought out approaches we've ever floated this early in a run. So
like,
I don't know.
Yeah, very conceptual. I don't know anything about South Carolina. I think archaeological site is nothing.
We don't really have a good hand. This is for
no,
sure.
No, we don't.
But the mountain is thick, so you know you can't complain.
The mountain is very thick.
Extremely thick.
I think we should go to Iron because I just like the idea of going to Iron.
Okay. I'm down
personally.
Well, yeah, you can't argue with that. Yeah.
Step two, iron.
Love this stuff. It is by mass. Look at this. Iron is by mass the most common element on Earth. Who knew that? Not me. Probably a lot of people, but I didn't know that.
Oh, you know what's good? Iron metal has been in use since ancient times. With ancient times is a Wikipedia page apparently.
Ooh, ancient times.
Is that like medieval times? But.
That's like a theme park. I was thinking, my immediate thought was that I think that is a whiskey brand.
Really?
But it's actually not. The whiskey brand is Early Times. There's one called Early Times and one called Ancient Age.
Ancient Times to Philosophy.
That's legit. I like that.
We got to start to, like, I think now this is episode 70 and... We bemoan the like weirdness of Wikipedia a lot, like when things particularly aren't linked to where we expect they should be. And Adam, I think you're onto something. I think we gotta make the kind of leap that like ancient times, people thought about life and thought and the planet and how it all fits together in ancient times. Clearly, there must be a link to philosophy on there.
One could hope. Yeah.
Listen, I mean, Iron Age. That there, you know, there were people thinking in the Iron Age, like
they were just thinking.
There was thinking,
but that takes us to Iron Age, not ancient times.
Yeah, but
oh, does it? Oh, God damn it!
Yeah, it's one of those things you gotta have. You gotta actually look at what
it
is.
Ancient times is
God damn it, Wikipedia.
What's
misleading us?
If it took you to ancient times, it would have to take you to the disambiguation where it would have the link to the themed restaurant Ancient Times, which
right. What do they what do you think they do at Ancient Times, the restaurant? Like
medieval times.
Medieval times.
Yeah,
they have jousting and like meat, mutton and shit. What do they do at Ancient Times?
You probably get to like hit some shit with a club, I don't know.
You have to start a fire yourself. And if you can't, you're just eating it raw. Eating that raw mutton.
You have to go track down and hunt and kill an animal with your bare hands.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, there are people who would probably pay top dollar for that experience.
There are a lot of people that would pay for that.
Yeah, I can imagine a bunch of, like, preppers and, like, you know.
Yeah, preppers, definitely. Is it Michael Pollan? Is he the one who wrote the book about, like, the real green way to eat is to start going out and harvesting and killing everything? Like, it's ye olde times?
Michael Pollan is the name of a diet author. I really don't know what his beliefs are.
That sounds a little extreme. That doesn't quite sound like pollen to me.
I had to read that whole book for my food policy class in college.
Which whole book?
I think it's the Omnivore's Dilemma. That's the one, right?
Oh, yeah. That's one
and
of the ones.
There is an entire chapter about how he hangs out with this, like, rugged type dude who cures all his own meats, and he, like, gets intoxicated by the thrill of the hunt during it. Yeah. The book, I think it's Omnivore's Dilemma. I think that's the one I read. But if not that one of his books, the whole like thing is that it concludes with him having this like potluck dinner of stuff that's all sustainably harvested or like hunted for and so forth. And it's just like, yeah, everybody should consider living like this. And it's like, consider living in like the bougiest dinner party ever, like.
Yeah, I didn't read that book. I did read The Botany of Desire for Senior Sim, and there's a chapter in there where he decides he wants to grow weed. Like, he doesn't super explain why. He insists that it's just, like, to have the experience of growing the plant.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's never done it before, and he doesn't know how big the plants get, and so he plants this stuff, like, by his garden shed or something, and the fucking things grow to be like 8 feet tall. And then at some point, like, for some reason, a police officer comes to his house, and I don't remember what happened after that. That was a bad story. I'm sorry.
Well, he, like, clearly there were no negative consequences for him, really. So that's the fucking moral of the story right there.
Yeah. I did find, however, I think some hot links here. I found ancient Greece and ancient Rome.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, ancient Greece philosophy. Boom, there we are.
Yeah,
we got it.
Solid.
Seems right. Reasonable.
Iron was a good choice.
Ancient Greece.
Step three.
Matt, when you were telling about the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
Have I told this story? Have I told my favorite 4th of July story on here?
I have no
this last summer.
No idea until you start telling it.
So there's this fireworks watching party on the roof of Revolution Hall, which is an old high school.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like drinks and stuff. There's a bar up there and there's some music playing.
You may have told this story right after it happened, but go on. I definitely know where this is going now.
I know I've told you. Yeah. So we're up there having some drinks and just sort of looking around. There's sort of fireworks just like all around. And we see that the iPad that the music is playing from is just sitting there on this table, totally unprotected. And
yep.
I nudged my friend Jeannie, just sort of jokingly. I was like, wouldn't it be so funny if we put on Down with the Sickness right now? And Jeannie, she's fucking just devious as hell. And so she just goes and puts this song on and no one stops her. And I just want, I can't tell you what it was like. You just have to picture being on this roof, this like pleasant, happy, like soft jazz, whatever was on, suddenly stops. And you just hear. Yeah.
Have you ever seen, there was a classic tweet by I think it was like Weed Hitler or like one of the like weird Twitter people, where he was like, oh, like, I used to have this hobby where I would tell everyone that I could DJ for their parties, and I would show up with, like, the worst playlists imaginable. like, legitimately terrible dance music playlists. So it would be like one song of, like, something relatively normal, but, like, not really dance music, and then it would just be, like, 20 tracks of noise, and it was absolutely beautiful. Like, I loved it so much. I recreated that playlist somewhere and just listened to it over and over again.
I want to be, like, that's the kind of person I want to be in life, is the one who's bold enough to just run this, like, not con, but prank over and over again.
Yeah, just ruin people's parties a lot.
Yeah, ruin people's parties a whole lot. The thing that's sad to me about that story, Caitlin, is that the fireworks weren't, like, popping off at that time. Because I think if they were, everyone would have been super down to hear Down with the Sickness.
There were a bunch. It was half and half. There were some people that were like, I heard them murmuring, like, holy shit, this is so tight. And then other people were like, and there were children there, and I'm sure that the children thought nothing of it, but I think that their parents weren't super happy.
Oh, have you seen the Vice article about the guy who just played The Boys Are Back in Town over and over again on the jukebox?
Yes, and my roommate,
that's a classic.
And my roommate has been doing that for the last 2 days. I've heard that song at least 10 times.
I used to do that in the car to mess with my girlfriend, yeah.
It is the greatest song of all time.
It's a really good song.
That same roommate of yours, Caitlin, I remember when CBS Bangers 2 came out, decided to play December 1963, Oh What a Night, on loop for a while. That was pretty great. I believe that's also how we ended up falling in love with the song Dolce Vita by Ryan Paris. So, you know, it's just kind of a thing.
As an aside, I used to go to karaoke places and find the one or two Bon Iver songs that they had. And then, you know, it's like, it's just a lot of moaning more than anything else. Like, there's not really much singing involved. And no one is ever into it. No one is into it.
That's perfect. That shit wouldn't even fly in Portland.
No, I did it in Portland once, I think. I think that was one of the times. Yeah.
We could click on philosophy from this page.
Yeah, no, we should get back on track.
Now that we've not talked about ancient Greece at all.
I think that's probably for the best, right? Like,
I mean, it's fine with me.
We've said our piece on this show before about ancient Greece, I feel like.
Have we? I don't know what our piece was.
We had to learn about it in
humanities. In college.
And some parts...
And that's it.
Some parts good, some parts bad.
Yep, that's it.
We've definitely talked about our preference for ancient Greek historians.
We're both Herodotus, right?
Yeah, we're both Team Herodotus. What about you, Adam? Right.
I don't know enough to have opinions on this topic.
That's an acceptable
answer.
Herodotus was like the fake news of ancient Greek history.
That's not true. That's not a good description. I would say if anything, Thucydides is like the fake news, because this motherfucker, he didn't know anything more than Herodotus did. He wasn't at any of those things that he describes. He just puts quotation marks around it, and so you think that he has some source that, like, heard this person saying whatever they said. He doesn't know. And it's boring.
But also, Herodotus was like, this motherfucker rode on a dolphin, and that almost definitely didn't happen.
That's tight. But, like, we all know that didn't happen, so it's okay. He's not trying to trick you.
I guess that's, I take it back. Yeah. Herodotus is, I mean, either way, he's still my boy, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's the fun one.
He's the fun one.
I'm going to click philosophy.
Ooh, boy.
This is going to be the most fun page we've ever landed on. And I can tell haven't looked at it before, because the link is not purple.
It wasn't purple. Never been here.
Never looked up just philosophy on Wikipedia.
wasn't there that thing about how philosophy was the one page that you can always find or something like that?
I think that's, I guess it is philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know this, Matt?
Yeah, I've heard about this, because it's like at the root.
The thing that if you click on the first link in any article and enough times, it'll get you to philosophy.
Yeah.
I think that sounds right. Oh, man. All right, here we go. got so many centuries of philosophy to dig through before we get
here
to.
We go. Yeah, we
got shitty pseudo philosophy from the mid-1900s.
All of them.
Wait, let's go back up to the top of the page and talk about who makes like the top six philosophers on Wikipedia. Yeah,
top six:
Plato, Kant, Nietzsche, Buddha, Confucius, Averroes. I don't know this one.
I don't have enough words actually to describe this properly. So
okay,
word.
Well, that's it. That's all you need to know. Basically,
those are your top six philosophers for 2016. Right there. Always determined by who makes the collage at the top of the Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have heard about the desperate plea from Merriam-Webster this year, right?
Yes.
Wait, maybe I haven't. I'm not sure. What are we?
Webster's always picks their word of the year by like what got looked up the most. And they're like, at this point, the word that's been looked up the most is fascism. There's still time to make it a different word.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen people saying that they look up like puppies every like half an hour or something. But like
that's like people that's like when
but
people
clearly
you're
slacking.
Yeah, that's like people playing Hot in Here by Nelly over and
yes.
over again on Skype.
Yes, I was
one of those people.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. I did it for like 3 days.
You know, he has other songs.
My Spotify Discover playlist has not recovered from that. It's still all rap classics.
Rap classics, by which you mean the one song by Nelly.
yeah.
That was the thing I didn't get about that is that Nelly did do other songs, and a lot of them are really good actually, but everybody was just listening to Hot in Here.
Yeah. I had that and like one other song. I had like two songs on that playlist. On
all
repeat,
right.
Honestly.
All right.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the genre that is portraits of philosophers? And like, just look at all these motherfuckers. Look at this portrait of Kant. Jesus Christ.
Kant. Kant. Kant.
Can you please stop like, on the portrait for me? I can't quite see it. Yeah.
Just this like. He's turned three quarters away from the camera and three quarters like down from the camera, and so you just see his big ass forehead.
Yeah, no, and you never see anything but his big ass forehead, let's be honest.
You gotta emphasize
if we're gonna discuss we need to discuss something, which is most fuckable philosophers. I will start. It's Kierkegaard. It's always Kierkegaard.
Okay, wait, there's a pick of him. Mm. Mm-hmm.
You cannot look at Kierkegaard's hair and be like, you know, that is someone who does not get the sex.
Kierkegaard's kind of got like a Matt Smith, Doctor
Who
vibe
yeah.
going on.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Also Marx. Marx is like Marx is not traditionally attractive, but if you were a gay man who was into bears, oh
that's
man,
exactly
that
what
would
I was
just
gonna
rock.
Say.
That would
oh
just
God.
Rock you. It,
Such
it,
a bear.
It, like, yeah, like you couldn't. You'd be. You'd be like enthralled by his socialism.
Now think about how tickly Nietzsche's mustache is, though.
Oh, so tickly.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Nietzsche had extremely, extremely sad love life. So there's that.
I mean, if we're just talking about rating in terms of pure attractiveness, like, because there are definitely philosophers who might be like more physically attractive, but just like completely repugnant based on their philosophy, right? So I don't know.
Also, fun fact, Foucault was really gay and really into S&M, so that was a big thing.
Yeah, also what we know about their sex lives, does that influence like how fuckable we think they are? Like if we share like the same kinks.
And like who are they as people? Sartre, definitely not.
Yeah, Sartre is...
yeah, no, definitely not Sartre.
Sartre is definitely, I hate to say it, but like the bottom of the list.
Ooh, Camus, though.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, Camus is definitely...
Camus. I think it's
yeah.
Camus. I think...
It's Camus.
Camus is like almost like a Humphrey Bogart type figure. Like,
yeah, damn.
Yeah.
Camus gonna invite you in off of the street into his brownstone, and like he's already gonna have like a hot toddy ready for you by the fireplace.
Oh
like he's gonna lay you down on that bearskin
yeah.
rug.
That's extremely true.
All right. Well, glad we solved that question.
Yeah, we solved that definitively.
It was important. It was extremely important.
So, okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where we're going here. Modern philosophy, I guess, is maybe where we want to go.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or maybe under contemporary.
Contemporary philosophy.
Yeah, because modern's going to be like modern in the academic sense, not today.
That's
right?
True. It just skip the section on analytic philosophy. Nothing good has ever come of analytic philosophy.
Just gonna
just scroll right on past that.
Keep that out of the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, our girl is not jumping out at me on this page, so should we go to we could go to 20th century philosophy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. That's more likely to be fruitful.
Look, this is only step 5, 20th century philosophy. So we're doing fine.
I love that the image on the page 20th century philosophy is an excerpt from the painting The School of Athens.
Yeah, it's not super relevant.
Not really topical.
It's all been downhill from there, let's be honest. That's not true. It's been extremely uphill, but
I celebrated Thanksgiving by watching 3 films with my dear friend Zach Brown while we split a 50-piece platter of sushi. That was what I did for Thanksgiving.
Oh my god.
And those 3 films were in order. They were Fast 5,
mm-hmm.
extended edition, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and XXX. So, you know, kind of 3 different philosophical modes on display in those 3 films. The first is one that privileges familial ties and direct action, stealing from the rich to redistribute the wealth, having a great deal of respect for the bonds that creates your family, irrespective of blood ties. The second one, of course, you've got Socrates,
right?
One of the greatest early philosophers. All we are is dust in the wind. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third film, XXX, which is just do cool stunts and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Have either of you seen XXX?
No, I have not.
Oh, I have. Oh, I've seen both XXXs.
Oh boy. I have not seen State of the Union. And I don't think I will.
State of the Union was like, hey, let's take XXX, but let's fill it with black people. That was kind of that was kind of their approach.
The first XXX was pretty much you had Samuel L. Jackson and that was it.
Let me assure you, in the second XXX there's a scene in which him and his hood friends put a tank on blocks and steal the tires or something along those lines. Like it was
what?
they definitely like had their you know their hood friends, like it was, oh god, I feel gross saying these words honestly, but they definitely had some kind of weird situation in which like they like stole the tires off of something that you're not supposed to normally steal the tires off.
I do also just want to point out the problem with the phrase put a tank on blocks and steal the tires. If we could just unpack that.
I'm actually looking this up right now because we need to
maybe
know.
It was an APC and not a tank. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think, you know, just talking about the second XXX is supposed to make you feel gross. And the first one, too, almost. The enemies in the first one, the bad guys, are anarchists. But their version of anarchy is like a James Bond villain version of anarchy where they want to
just blow shit up.
They want to poison several major population hubs with this super high tech submarine that they've developed to launch these fucking missiles that combine what looks like the blue stuff that they put combs in at hairdressers and Mountain Dew. Those are the two active ingredients that combine to create the poison that then is deactivated by water. That's how the poison is untraceable, is that water dissolves it.
Okay.
So it's also got like a Signs movie problem there where it's like, how does this stuff aerosolize and not immediately decay when there's water in the atmosphere? Anyway, it's a missile that combines a very green fluid and a very blue fluid to create a black scary fluid. It's
Now, Matt, you say that this is a, you just called that a What kind of James Bond version of anarchy?
Yeah.
Anarchism?
Yeah.
I just read a book about the famous early 20th century anarchist Emma Goldman, and I gotta say that checks out. That sounds fine to me, so I don't know what. That's kind of, you know.
You kind of want to just poison several mass population centers?
Yeah. That's sort of just what the whole thing is. So, can we talk about the subtle burn right here?
Oh, shit.
This,
yep. Here we go.
Civil content.
Here we go.
Do you mind explaining for listeners?
So the sections in the major sections in the table of contents are number one, analytic philosophy, number two, continental philosophy, and number three, outside academia. And the only subsection under outside academia is, you guessed it, objectivism.
I also enjoy the last line of the header here. In addition, philosophy in the 20th century became increasingly technical and harder for lay people to read. Like that's a subtle burn too. Yeah. That's extremely. That's oh, I love it.
It's pretty good.
Good,
yeah,
right?
Like we've been handed everything on a silver platter.
Yeah, here we go. Ayn Rand.
Wait, is that a link to Ayn Rand or is it a link to objectivism?
Yeah.
Oh, there we
go. It's a link to Ayn Rand.
Perfect. Step six.
Hell yeah. We done it. Now we can just talk about Ayn Rand. We're here.
Oh boy, yeah.
Oh boy, I love it. No.
Perfect.
When you were a youth, Adam, just
yes.
what attracted you
to our
girls' ideas?
Yeah, so, okay, so when I was a foolish youth, I was raised by very conservative Roman Catholic parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled a lot under that because from a very young age, I kind of didn't have a taste for it, and I've never really had a taste for it. And so I kind of at first rebelled against my parents by deciding to be more conservative. Like that was my, like, I will be better than you by being smarter and more terrifyingly evil than you. That was like 13, 14 year old Adam, you know, just like, all right, let's do this. And then, yeah, you know, at some point, a friend of mine who was a close friend of mine, introduced me to it, because his dad really loved the book. And, you know, I read Atlas Shrugged, and it was great, and I loved it, and, you know, I was just a little garbage baby who loved Ayn Rand, like, that was, and the funny thing was that, you know, then I went to college, and I realized how silly that was. But, you know, by that point, I had already read almost literally everything she's written, including that one novel that she wrote that has nothing to do with philosophy, but which is actually objectively probably her best work because it's about how it's about how the USSR sucked. Like that's basically about it. And it's probably it's not as well written as her later works, but intellectually, or you know, like it's much easier to defend. Like it's like, oh yeah, like that's a solid piece of literature. And then, you know, everything else is just like, well, there's a lot going on. So
there's a story of hers released in 2015.
Yeah, I just popped up.
I didn't even know this.
I just popped open Ayn Rand's posthumous album.
Look what you've done. Yeah.
It's called Ideal. It was published in 2015.
Oh, God.
I
don't even know. How long is it? Wait, tell me how many pages it is.
256.
Oh, beautiful. I need to buy this right now, actually. Beautiful. I love it.
I mean, I think the sort of reaction against parents to become more than and better than is like, that is totally, I totally get that. Not that I really did, you know, in a political sense or in a philosophical sense, if only because, and I know that my mom is probably going to listen to this podcast, but I think it's fair to say like neither, I was the one who's like, hey mom, you should go to the Democratic primary in 2008 and cast a vote for Obama.
You mean the caucuses?
Sorry, yeah, caucuses in Washington. My bad. We do that grassroots shit in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, that was like my early, like, maybe being politically active equals good thing sprouting. But like, but if you try to trace like my development, that makes me now like staunchly, you know, as a personal thing, like super afraid these days and against fascism. It's like, I don't know, Half-Life 2. Like, like that's the seed, you know, as soon as you step off the train, it's like, welcome to City 17. Like, that shit scared me.
I replayed that game. I replayed like the opening 5 levels of that game constantly because I thought that they were genius, but then I hated like the rest of that game. Like, virtually all the rest of it. It was just like, let me just play those first 5 levels. They're perfect.
What point? So like up to Ravenholm or including?
Oh, before it's like before Ravenholm. Like Ravenholm was definitely like the stagnation of things, where I was like, I just hate all of this.
This is a shameful admission, but I was so scared shitless by that section the first time I played through the game in 2004 that I just opened up the cheat console and skipped past it.
Oh no! Here's a funny thing. I was playing on my parents' computer, which was obviously not a gaming computer, was not set up for this kind of thing. And the first time I played it, the flashlight didn't work.
Oh, man.
Because the computer was not quite, you know, spec'd out to handle all of the graphics. And so I had to play through all of Ravenholm without a flashlight. And that was terrifying.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience later on playing... oh man, what is that one horror game? I can't even remember.
Amnesia?
That one?
Yes, Amnesia. Oh god, you knew. Like,
I got
you just
it,
read
you
my
know?
Mind through space and time. But yes, same kind of thing happened when I tried to play that on my laptop at the time. And so I had this very disorienting moment where I would be like, you know, like I'd be playing through the game and I was like, oh, you know, like this isn't too scary, but like I can't really see anything. And then I, like, kind of, like, you know, like, looked very closely at the details on the ground. And I was like, what's that on the ground? What, you know, like, it looks weird. And then I realized that it was, like, scattered human body parts.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I get it now. This is why I haven't been properly terrified. It's because I've not been realizing that these are not rocks. They are human body parts that I'm climbing over to get to my goals.
You know, people give Doom 3 a lot of shit because of its original implementation of a flashlight, but I mean, as your stories attest to, it was really just technical limitation. You could either render a flashlight or render a gun, and you know,
yeah.
things were different in 2004. Not a lot of computers were able to handle, you know, those cutting edge flashlights.
In high school, a friend of mine had this video game idea, and we used to mock him for it constantly because we thought it was super dumb.
It was called
but
Minecraft.
Essentially, what the idea essentially boiled down to was that it was a game that's played in pitch black, and the only time that you can see is when you shoot with your gun and like it gives off enough light to illuminate the room. And the idea was that it would be this survival horror with like limited ammo so that you're having to somehow do things in pitch blackness.
That's fucking terrible.
While also like conserving your ammo so that you can not only shoot to like kill things that are ostensibly chasing you, but also so that you can just see. It was an awful idea.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
But
yeah, we mocked him for it a lot. And we joked about how it's, you know, basically as you increase difficulty levels, you just decrease the number of bullets available and increase the number of enemies until you have to, you know, in pitch blackness with a single bullet, line up and headshot 20 enemies in a row. That's the only way to win.
The thing is that as terrible an idea as that is, I can guarantee that would be like the most watched game on Twitch.
There would be some speedrunners.
I would watch other people playing that, but
yeah.
it's not fun
yeah, in the slightest.
Not at all.
Caitlin, I mean, you still rock your original Obama shirt. We're kind of talking about political beginnings. I don't know, like, what was
it
for you?
That's from 2012, and I still wear that tank top because it's the tank top that has the ideal fit for my body and it's very comfortable. And that's why I've continued to wear it to this day.
I wear a shirt from at least 10 years ago because it still fits me perfectly and I love it. And it's I agree.
But Matt, I think you actually know. I think we maybe talked about this, or like you should know.
I should know this if I'm a good friend.
When my political awakening happened.
I feel like you know this. Are we talking Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah, that's what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, shout out to, what's his name? The guitarist?
Tom Morello,
being featured in Rolling Stone for being like, hey, you know what? Castro did a lot of bad things, but also let's not pretend like the American government didn't try to kill him 600 times and all that stuff. Like, still being Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine in 2016, even a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's an accomplishment. Do you remember the what's his face saying that Rage Against the Machine was his favorite band, and then
Paul Ryan,
and then yeah. And then he was like, "You are the machine that we are raging against."
Yeah,
that was classic.
You know,
classic.
Paul Ryan is like has never listened to the words, and he's just like, "I like this shouty music that I can listen to while I am like in the gym, hamming it up for the cameras, like that one photo shoot."
Yeah, no, that photo shoot is me. Like that photo shoot is everything I have ever wanted about politics. Like I run on a very strict platform of muscles for everybody. Like that's just who I am. Like elect me as president, I will ensure that you too can have muscles.
Look, I think that's honestly one of the best political promises I've heard floated in a long, long time.
In at least a couple years.
Do we have any closing words on Ayn Rand? I mean, I would love to, you know, talk about that affair some more and how shitty it was.
I love how you couldn't keep a straight face through that. Like you had to laugh a little bit. I mean, I can tell you the whole story, but essentially, there was a guy. His name is Nathaniel Brandon. He's a psychologist. I think he's still around. I'm not sure.
He passed away in 2014, I saw.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's sad, because I must have then reread the book shortly after died, which is really sad.
Sorry, time out. Did you guys know this? She received an honorary doctorate from Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon.
Nice. Wait, is that your alma mater?
What's that?
Is that your alma mater?
My mom went there. Me and Matt both went to Reed, and my mom went to Lewis and Clark.
I'm not going
to
say I take offense at that, Adam, but I take a little bit of offense at that, Adam. No, I mean, so who did we give honorary degrees to as a school? Like,
nobody. You don't do that. Did they do that?
Reed? I'm sure we must have given something out, right? I think we gave an honorary degree to James Beard after he was kicked out of Reed for being gay,
but like years,
which was pretty
like
shitty.
Years after.
Yeah, years and years after. Years after he was super famous and like one of the most respected culinary minds. The biggest shade I throw in the Reed student body handbook that I was one of the editors for is having a full page spread of James Beard that tells in a brief caption the story of how he was kicked out of school for being gay, and then later Reed groveled and was like, "We're sorry. Have this like recognition, please. We're very deeply sorry about what we did. It was not cool."
Yeah, we just have like the guy who invented Norton antivirus or whatever. That's all we can boast about.
So do we not have honorary degrees? Just
the one.
just us claiming that Steve Jobs went there for a semester.
No, I mean, you're right. James Beard did get an honorary degree.
Okay.
I don't see any others on the Wikipedia page titled List of Reed College People.
Yeah. I see a fucking Gary Snyder poem like basically every day, because it's like in rotation of like poems on the MTA.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of spooky, but also like he's a super famous poet, so not that spooky.
It's pretty normal, actually.
Yeah, so sorry, we interrupted the Brandon tale.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so Nathaniel Brandon, and you have to realize that this is terrifying in that he was literally like a teenager when he discovered her work. Like he was an actual literal like 12-year-old or something along those lines. Who began as a fan who wrote into her, just basically being like, "I love your stuff, you know," and all that. And he was a pretty smart guy. And so, and you know, like his mindset was totally, you know, like imagine like, like grooming, like, you know, like a 12-year-old to just basically follow you and believe everything that you believe. Like, that's kind of what happened. And so, you know, essentially by the time he was 18, like, they had become friends and, like, you know, they had traded letters or whatever, and you know, like, he started hanging out with her in New York, and he went to college, and he, you know, got a job, but he was essentially one of the, you know, like, one of her best friends, and one of the, like, you know, like, one of the huge in people with the Objectivist movement. And he did a lot of the work in terms of, you know, like, just helping get the movement off the ground. He did a lot of seminars and so on. And he was married at the time to a woman who he was not very into and who was not very into him. But they had this weird cult-like thing going on within the Objectivist movement that just sort of said that, you know, like, when certain people said things, you just had to accept them as uncritical fact. And so, you know, Ayn Rand would basically be like, you two are perfect together. And they would be like, well, I guess we better stay married.
Yep.
Like, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. That was real. And then, you know, and, you know, like, things do, you've got a woman who's like in her 40s and you're in your early 20s and, you know, just one thing leads to another. And soon you're cheating on your wife with a much older woman and
who's cheating on her husband and there's consent of both parties.
Yeah, no, and both parties like knew about it and were okay with it to a certain extent. And it drove Ayn Rand's husband wild. Like, he absolutely hated it. He became an alcoholic. He sort of became like a shut-in and a painter because that was like he would just kind of just paint things and get drunk all day. Like, that was, you know, what happened. And yeah, you know, so, it, you know, he eventually kind of got tired of this affair and fell in love with another woman. So there's a third woman on the scene. Aside from his wife and his mistress, he falls in love with a third woman. Mm-hmm. And he realizes that this is the first time that he's truly, truly been in love with someone who is in his age range and, you know, an appropriate match for him. And so he, you know, sort of says, okay, well, I have to break off this affair with Ayn Rand. And she's so mad about it that she kicks him out of the movement entirely and essentially disavows his existence. She apparently had this thing where if anyone disagreed with her enough, she would basically be like, all right, well, you're done now. I'm never going to talk to you again. And I don't want to see you or like think that you exist or, you know, accept that you're a person. And so that's kind of what she did to him, even though he had been essentially her right-hand man for forever. And she gave the keys to her kingdom to Leonard Peikoff, who he described as kind of basically being the exact kind of moocher and looter that she rails against in her books, which is to say that he was just a suck up who didn't really, you know, have anywhere near the creative capacity that she had. And so, yeah, she kicked him out and he went off and became a psychologist and, you know, and it took him many years to overcome the emotional trauma that affair caused him. And that's pretty much it. That's the story.
That's the story. Right. Of course, I didn't know any of this, you know.
It's terrifying.
You know, after I'd read Anthem and then afterwards learned a little bit more about Objectivism and went like, this is bullshit. Like, I only learned about this stuff recently. Paints a picture that would make it a lot easier to kind of like go like, I wonder like if this philosophy stemming from a weirdo pseudo cult group really has like any merit whatsoever, you know. So instead, yeah. I you know, the thing that really taught me that Objectivism equals bad was you know, BioShock. I get all my political views from video games, as you
exactly.
can tell.
Good. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, and it's important to realize also that, like, Ayn Rand was, like, a deeply, like, resentful, like, crotchety old woman by the time she kicked it. Because she had essentially alienated virtually everyone that was close to her. And you know, she was... I mean, emotional intelligence, I hear, is not really a thing. But if there was someone who had zero emotional intelligence, it would be Ayn Rand, so...
I think that's a good note to end on. every time we do a topic now where we're like, we're not actually into this thing, we should have an extended portion where we just like lay it to rest finally once and for all.
The 75 page rant.
This is, yeah, you have my blessing. Yeah. Look for my new novel coming out soon. 1,500 pages, at least 200 of which are ranting about how Ayn Rand is evil.
How many are footnotes? Are we doing a DF Dubs here?
Oh, God. Good old Infinite Jest.
Yeah, good old Infinite Jest.
I have a perfect way to tie this back to the subject matter at hand, which is that I think it was BuzzFeed or something ran an article a while back that was entitled, like, books that it's okay to read and appreciate, but that if someone says it's their favorite book of all time,
yes.
You start to judge
yes,
them
yes,
really
yes,
hard
yes, yes,
on
yes.
the inside. And both Atlas Shrugged and Infinite Jest are on that list.
Yeah.
And hilariously enough, when I showed this list to my ex at the time, she kind of chuckled and she was like, Infinite Jest is my ex's favorite book. And I had met her ex at the time, and I looked her dead in the eye and said, he would.
That is perfect.
He would.
My new favorite book might actually be The Lathe of Heaven, which Caitlin just finished reading.
Yeah.
And every day now I wake up hoping that I'm in an alternate reality because of my dreams.
Yeah. No, it was like maybe a bad time for me to read that book right now.
Yeah.
Because I just like think about like, because, you know, I not to get too real here, but the day after the election, I did wake up and I was like, this feels like a different world from the one that I went to sleep in 2 days ago. And like, what's up with that? Did I do this with my brain?
No, but yeah, that'll tell you plenty if that takes my my top spot as favorite book. Is that also probably something that should be appreciated, but not your favorite book? Probably says a lot about your touch on reality.
Yeah.
This has been now a little bit of a lengthy Can You Get to That? And I think that's just fine, you know. Thank you, Adam, for joining us this week.
Thank you. I've had a lot of fun. This was a really good chance to relive classic childhood memories.
Classic
Adam.
Classic childhood Ayn Rand memories.
Classic Adam.
Do you want to lead us off here? Give some plugs. Say your Twitter handle and other places people can find you, where you wish to be found.
Yeah, for sure. I am at Gaines_tweets on Twitter. I am also, I do a fitness blog at www.gains.af. There's a good pun in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do YouTube videos, you know, so watch my YouTube videos. You can find that all through my website, so.
Word. I am Matthew Olson. I'm on Twitter. It's at Matthew Olson. Spell it right, as always. Yeah, you can, if you actually are interested in hearing Alex Clute and I do either Herent Vice or Atlas Shruggy with the Shruggy emoticon, tweet at me. Alex is also, I'll just say this, his handle is at fucking unreal. You should also check out his band Hiccup. They're very good, but I think the two of us would enjoy any excuse to hang out, drink a bunch of Rolling Rock. And, of course, Finite Jest can be found at finitejest.simplecast.fm. That's all the things I can plug. And Caitlin, if you could cover the show things this week.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at bestkabest, BESTKABEST. You can find the show on Twitter at gettothat. You can find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/CYGTT. Please go to iTunes and review, subscribe, etc.
All those things.
Do all the things and send us a tweet. We love to get topic ideas. I think that's it. I don't have anything
now,
any personal plugs at the moment.
This always happens with guests where we're concerned whether or not we can pull the guest into the way we close out the show.
Yeah.
This is now like a running joke where it's on us for not at least taking care of this
person. Remember when you wrote it on a piece of paper to show to John Mills or somebody?
That was Griffin Newman.
Yeah, and it didn't work. Like you.
Yeah, I like covered up part of it with my phone.
Your handwriting was illegible.
Yeah, not always the smoothest. So I think we'll just ask Adam this question and maybe see if we can get an answer. Yeah. Caitlin, do you want to do the honors?
No, you do it.
I'm ready.
Adam, we got one question for you from both of us via me, and that is, what if technology bad though?
they have a show for that, and it's called Black Mirror, which I described as what if technology but more.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy.